Rusty, can you stand a little more? Okay. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Oh, wait, I meant to skip this verse. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What woman would not adore a man who loved her as Jesus loved the church? What woman would not respond, "Oh, he's coming"? What woman would not respond to a man who would give himself for her? You know what makes him the head? His giving. It's his giving. And that's how you'll know it's him. That's how you'll know it's him. Oh, we got some great men coming. I can't wait. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. It's how we're changed. It's how Christ changes the church. It's how marriages are changed. It is by the cleansing and the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Of course, he's talking about the church, but he's comparing it to marriage. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. And I think therein lies a lot of problem. We have a lot of men that don't love themselves. They hate themselves, so they treat their wives roughly. Only the word can fix that. But please remember in this, each of us has a responsibility. It is the blueprint to the home. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Nourishes and cherishes, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his blueprint. Oh, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Folks, you got to leave your blueprint. Where it was wrong, you got to leave your, you're building something new here. You can't have, can I use the newlyweds down here? You can't take what she had blueprinted in her as home and what he had as blueprinted in him as home and build a home. It'd be a mess. Because what he thinks and what she thinks and the way she was raised, the way he was raised, it's not going to flow together well. So these two have to leave their blueprints and build a home. The word is their home. And it's going to look different than anybody else's home because God's using two different people. But it's still going to be beautiful if we go with his blueprint. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If y'all want more teaching on that, we've got plenty on it in the lending library. You can borrow it for free or you can download stuff online. But let me tell you, this is the blueprint for the home. And you know I like to give you material. I recommend Love and Respect. I recommend the whole series. Love and respect. The first one, love and respect, will be between the husband and the wife. This one I have here is love and respect in the family. And there's several more after that. Some of them have workbooks with them. But if you're rebuilding and building a blueprint for your home or renovating and making a new blueprint for your home, highly, highly recommend love and respect. Because if there was, I'm telling you, respect goes a long, long way. Just respecting each other. And there's lots of everyday examples in this thing that will bless you and that will help you. Highly recommend it. David, I think you've read some of those. You and Susan, they're good. They're just real good. So the blueprint that we just read in Ephesians will help you build the home that you desire. And you want it to be the place that you go out of to face the world. I mean, it's rough out there. on your job, in your schools, and the things that you have to deal with out there. You want home to be the safe place that everybody gets to come to at the end of the day. That's what we're building. You might compare it to the Garden of Eden. It's what you operate out of and that you get to come home to. So you want it to be good. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as His representatives, for this is just and right. You know, I never thought I'd see the day that I would have anybody disagree with this scripture. But I have people right here in our community that think that you teaching your child anything is brainwashing them. I know, right? I just want y'all to know right now, I did my best to brainwash my children. Did my best. Y'all want to hear a good story? Dad was taking Wade somewhere. Most of you have heard this. My dad was taking Wade somewhere, and we'd dealt with some alcoholism in some parts of the family. And so I was always imprinting Wade. And so doesn't mean he never drank, but it means he always knew it was wrong if he did. So I was doing my best. He was a little old bitty guy, and I was trying to imprint on him, you know, against addiction. And so we got in the truck with my dad one day, and Dad opened up a Mountain Dew, handed it to him. They were going down the road, and Wade said, he handed it back to Pop, and he said, I can't drink that. He said, why can't you drink that, son? He said, you're not supposed to drink and drive. Score! I think he was about 6 or 7. Brainwash your children. Wash their brains with the word. Amen. By all means. That is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Not to try to get things into your children's heads. You better. Somebody else is going to. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. They're His representatives. This is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment, and it has a promise. That all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not irritate and do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and the discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord. That's a blueprint. Some of you didn't have that blueprint. Some of you got things thrown at you. Hit with whatever was handy. You got to get rid of that blueprint. That's not God's. Now, He does talk about the rod, and He does talk about spankings. We used that method. We used that method when it worked, and if it worked. Sometimes you got a kid that doesn't need anything. Sometimes they need the spirit of rebellion taken out of them. This can be popular on YouTube, I can tell. Y'all will back me up. There is a way that is right for each child. And your job is to make sure that the child does not have rebellion. Because rebellion against authority will end up being rebellion against God. And there is a blueprint that will save their soul. It will save them trouble. It will save their life. And so we can't just let children be. We have to imprint on them the blueprint of God. That's our job. When you get ready to add that nursery on, this is how you build it. We have babies born before we have a blueprint. We need a plan because raising a child doesn't start when they're 10. Train up a child, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know why that happens? Because you've put a blueprint on the inside of them. You're handing your child a blueprint of home right now. Right now, at 6 months old, 12 months old, 5, 10, 13, you're teaching them what a mom is. You're teaching them what a dad is. You, Braden will pick up one of Emily's baby dolls. All the men in the house go, and I say, Braden, you are going to be a wonderful father. You know why he picks up that baby doll? Because his daddy. Because he has a hands-on daddy that's not afraid to pick up a baby. And in fact, the opposite. If there's a baby in the room, PJ's probably going to have it in his hands. So Braden thinks nothing about picking up a baby doll because that's what daddies do. Daddies pick up babies. You are teaching, you are handing your children blueprints of home right now. This isn't something that they need to have to learn everything about the day they say, I do. We need to be working on this now at whatever age they are. This is what a daddy does. I'm always telling Braden and Emily, you know, Chelsea's getting them to clean up and that sort of thing. So you need to be hard workers like your mom and dad. Work hard, work good like your mom and dad. And you're setting that example. I realize that sometimes we step outside the boundaries of where we want to live, right? You know, you said that you shouldn't have said that doesn't go with the blueprint, or you did that doesn't go with the blueprint. Just know God knows that too. And that's why he has grace. That's why he has provision in his word for us to come back in. And I want to encourage all of us to leave the door open when somebody steps outside the boundary. Leave the door open to come back in, inside the boundary, because just because someone crossed the line doesn't mean that they want to live out there. And I think that's probably for somebody today. 1 Corinthians 13. Probably could have just used this one and left it at that. Love endures long. It's patient. It's kind. Love never is envious, and it doesn't boil over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It doesn't display itself haughtily. It is not conceited. It is not arrogant and inflated with pride. It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or on its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Now, bear with me. That is the ultimate goal. You're going to cross that line. You're going to cross the line outside of that boundary. Just don't live out there. Just don't live out there. Come back into it. When you mess up, I've had to apologize to Rusty a lot in the last couple of weeks. Just had a lot of pressures, a lot of things we've been dealing with Dad, getting him back on his feet, and spending a lot of time over there. We had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old for 4 days, you know. Working and doing all those things, and there's been a time or two that are 10 that I've crossed that line of some of these things of being touchy and fretful. About bit Bob's head off the other day at a staff meeting, and you know, I had to send him an apology, and I said, look, you know, sometimes we just got to give people grace. If they're living out there, then we might need to get some counseling, we might need to get some help to try to bring them back in. But if a person touches their foot across these lines every now and then, just love them, let them come back in. They probably already know what they did wrong. And so we got to have some grace as God gives us grace. I put in your notes, changed that scripture into a confession, because if you're going to frame your world, you're going to do it with your words, and those words need to be the word of God. My love can outlast this moment. That's what love endures long means to me. My love can outlast this moment, for love has made me patient and kind. I do not envy, and I am not jealous. I will not boast or act haughty. I will not be arrogant or prideful. I will not be rude. I will not be rude. I will not be rude. Okay. I'll teach you that song too, Charlotte. I will not insist on my own rights or way, because I am not self-seeking. I'm not self-seeking. I'm self-giving. I will not be touchy. I will not be touchy. I will not be touchy. I will not be fretful. I will not be resentful. I will not keep a record of wrongs. I won't keep a record of wrongs. I will find no pleasure in wrongdoing. I am happy when right and truth prevail. My love bears up under anything and everything that comes. I'm looking to believe the best of every person. My love continues. I need to repeat that one. Let me come over here. I will believe the best in every person. No, I'm sorry. My love continues in hope. Blow these up, Bob. My love continues in hope. My love will not fade under these circumstances, but it endures without weakening. My love never fails. My love never fades out. Therefore, my love never finds an end. It never finds its ending. Now look, I know as well as you do, we gotta say that a lot. So don't think I'm up here saying, I mean, you see which parts I need to say over and over again. Find those parts, say them over and over. Why? Because we're re-blueprinting. We're re-blueprinting. These blueprints that we've had in our head, they have to be redone. This is not working. This is not making for peace. This is not making for home. So if it's not, then we have to change it, and we do that by the Word of God. The rest of the scriptures I simply put on there for you to study out. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You are wasting your energy. You are wasting your time. You have the perfect blueprint. Go to it. Go to books that point you to it, okay? I have a great book down here, and I didn't know the Hot Springs girls were going to be over here, but you can tell Tim I bragged on him a little bit. You can go on Christian Ministries Hot Springs website and get these, but this is called Train Up a Child, one of the best teachings on parenting. Tim Brooks is a cowboy. He tells it like it is. He doesn't mix words, so if you're a real soft parent, you will probably be offended by this. But he tells you to train your children, and that you are working yourself out of a job, and that is exactly what you're supposed to do. He talks about the funnel, about turning it upside down, where if you think about most people parent where there's this let them do anything mentality, and then as they get older, they start having to tighten the grip. He says, turn that upside down. You start this way, and that way you get to loosen up, and that's the plan, because someday you're not going to be there, and they're going to have to take care of themselves. So this is a great book. Who needs this? I have one. I'm going to get you one. I'm going to give this one to somebody I can't get to all the time. I got you one coming. Don't let me forget. I've got Josiah all the time, so. Staff, help me remember to order some more. How many of you would want one if we can get them? Somebody count for me. Keep those hands up tall. Debbie, Tanya, somebody count. Balcony, kind of move your hand a little bit. So, three? Am I getting right? Three, Patty? Okay. Approximately. What'd you come up with? How many did you get? About 25, and did you get the three in the balcony? Let's say 30. All right, let's get those ordered, Rusty, and I'll get those for you as gifts. We want to sew into your home, right, Rusty? Okay, we'll have those for you as soon as we can. There's some things that I know he's... Go, do it. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served... Well, your fathers did it, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. Society can like it. They cannot like it. We have blueprint. We're going to serve the Lord. Matthew 7:24 doesn't seem like a home scripture, but it is. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which builds his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. He built his house upon the sand. The rain came. It descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter what kind of home you have, if you went by the blueprint, or if you went by the blueprint that was from your past and in your head, things are coming, but it's all dependent upon the foundation on what happens when they come. No home is excluded from things happening. We've all had things happen we didn't like. Things happen that were somewhat distractions and disastrous. But the foundation, it's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be built right. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. Power of the woman in the home, folks. Deuteronomy 6:5, brainwash your children. That's what it says. I'm sorry, brainwash your children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It sounds to me like they framed it. We've got a job to do. And I'm telling you, good homes are becoming rare. Not perfect homes. Those aren't even rare. Those don't exist. But good homes, it's possible. It's very, very possible.